I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Well, away we go.
I'm stunned.
Worst loss since 99. 216-578-0092.
You told me that an hour ago.
Worst one.
And it's hard for me to argue. I flailed away. I said, well, that Colts game where Brian Hoyer was just throwing the ball to the other team, and then I go back to 2007, Derek Anderson against Cincinnati Bengals. A year you won 10 games, by the way, but this team can never win 10 games. Like, there's no chance this team could win 10 games. So, like, that team with Pro Bowlers all over the place. I don't know who's making the Pro Bowl out of the Browns. Maybe just Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb. That team had a running back, a tight end, a wide receiver. Did Derek Anderson make the Pro Bowl? He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baker's not making the Pro Bowl. Like, he's got no shot. Even with all the injuries and all the benchings, he has no shot to make the Pro Bowl.
I wondered it after the first game. You won the battle. Did you lose the war? You've absolutely lost the war. That's a 7-5 team. You have a guy who's a champion duck caller who won the game. And you can find any way you want to. At the very best silver lining I possibly can put out on this is that at least we ain't fooling nobody anymore. Like, I can make as many excuses as I want to, and I can talk about continuity as all I want to. This isn't, you understand what you saw yesterday. Like, this isn't Ledwell. And we're going to talk about T-shirts today, I'm sure. You know, I dropped in a couple of things that bothered me earlier this week, and I'd love for you to go ahead and say, that ain't the reason, this ain't the reason, whatever. Fine. You had a victory Monday on a disjointed Thanksgiving week, where you have family coming in, it's going to throw you off. You had a victory Monday then. You have a team that has proven in the past that they're very young and they can be immature, and that you give them an inch, you're going to take a mile. For whatever reason, I don't know what's going on with Demarius Randle. I'm sure there's two sides to this somehow. But from what we know, allegedly, he missed a practice. So I got a veteran, an important veteran, by the way, we found out yesterday. You have an important veteran who decided that it was okay to miss a practice earlier this week. Well, you're trying to make a playoff run here. So we want to talk about plenty of other things. We can talk about culture here, because I think that that's where it comes down to. So it's got to be more than a job. It has to be more than that. It has to be about culture. You have one team that has one because they can lose Juju Smith-Schuster and they can lose James Conner and they can just plug in different guys. And one guy, the most that people know about him is that he played at Kentucky, and I don't even know if people know about that, and he has a spinner on his mouthpiece, and that's it. And they ended up winning the football game. And for whatever reason, you decided that you were going to throw the ball 6 times in the second half. It's a 10-10 game. And it shouldn't even have been 10-10 because the defense played like garbage, and especially the secondary did. You gave up jump ball after jump ball after jump ball. You provided zero pass rush. Everybody was missing more than even Myles Garrett was in that football game. He was more present in that football game than the Browns' defensive line. He was. You were boat raced from the second after from the end of the first half on. It was just an ugly feeling, and it felt like you had given up. Secondary was garbage. The offensive line was some of the worst offensive line play I ever saw. Baker wasn't that good at all. And you ran the ball 6 times in the second half. You got the ball back at the Pittsburgh Steelers 30-yard line on a turnover with about 3.5 left to go in the football game. And the first thing you do is come out and get sacked for 8 yards. I don't know how else to say it, folks. And you know, I don't like to call for these sort of things, but we are at a crossroads here now, aren't we? So at least if I can put a silver lining on anything, at least you've been exposed. You've been exposed. Because last year, how many people were talking about Mike Tomlin being a bad football coach, being a bad NFL head coach? Well, if this guy's a bad head coach, what do I have?
Well,
I want to know this from you.
I told everybody.
Did I say something laughable? I'm sorry.
No. It was laughable that anybody ever was laughing about Mike Tomlin.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
He's clearly one of the best coaches in the NFL. I've said that for years. I don't know how people doubt it. I know they missed the playoffs last year. I mean, third string quarterback. Technically, fourth. Technically, that was their 4th string quarterback yesterday that just beat your team. How much more talent does Freddie Kitchens and the Browns need? How much more talent? So we all know it's not a talent. It's not a talent issue. For the first time in years, the Browns have had talent issues for years. They don't have a talent issue anymore.
You're the better team.
They have an operational issue.
Well,
they have a functional issue.
Not the better team. You're
they have a coaching issue, organizational issue. How many more issues? They do not have a talent issue. For the first time in so many years, we don't have to lament needing more talent. They don't. Yeah, they need more help on the offensive line, obviously. I see bad offensive lines win every week in this league. To score 13 points yesterday is one of the biggest embarrassments I've ever seen. To do it in that game when all I heard in the run-up to this game is rivalry. We care about the rivalry. We care. It's Steelers week. Well, you scored 13 points against a team with all backups on offense. Benny Snell.
They care about a rivalry.
And Jalen Sanders.
When you're winning games and executing, when you're winning games and doing that, and you have those type of guys who you couldn't pick out of a lineup, they care about the rivalry. We thought we cared about a rivalry. We wore T-shirts and thought we cared about the rivalry.
Right.
And the biggest thing about the T-shirts is, honestly, you didn't lose because Freddie Kitchens wore a T-shirt. We all know that. I'm not saying anybody's stupid enough to believe that. You're not. And I know what David DeCastro said, and we'll play Ramon Foster's comments probably more than once today.
You're the laughing stock.
We'll play it more than once.
You're getting made fun of by everybody.
But what that does is that, again, and I told you yesterday, I reserve comment till today. If they win that game, it's part of the folklore. If they lose that game, then people are going to put it as part of the problem. But really, it's not. It's really not. What it is something that's going to make you even more upset as time goes on, because ultimately, because of a T-shirt, Freddie doesn't answer because of the T-shirt. Freddie answers because he loses the football game. But you're the one because people get on social media, you're the one who answers for it. And that's something that lives forever. Like, if he gets fired at the end of the year, I remember that time the Browns coach at Freddie Kitchens? Yeah, he wore a T-shirt. That Pittsburgh started a T-shirt, and then they lost with who is the guy? Duck? Quail? Goose? Like, that's a trivia question at some point. That's an embarrassment. And yesterday was a flat-out embarrassment. It was an embarrassment for them. It was an embarrassment for the fans. I'm not going to go flying off the handle like I did a month ago, but I will tell you this. I wish I would have saved it for this time, because this is the worst loss I've seen. Because you're playing for the playoffs. You're playing to keep yourself alive in it, and it just becomes a three-ring circus all over again.
To me,
and so now you answer to it.
Kenny, this team, and I asked the question over the weekend, and I thought they would win. I thought they would crush.
You said
that
they would crush them.
I thought they would just roll, okay? And they came out and they had a 10-0 lead. I actually liked the game plan. I really did, to start the game. They were very conservative. They weren't just going to have Baker throw the ball all down the field. They used their running backs. And then before I know it, they're up 10-0, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Duck Hodges is throwing jump balls that they're making catches, and they had no momentum in the second half. And then all of a sudden, they forgot who they were.
And you
they completely forgot what they do well.
There was a caller who called into Dustin and Jeff yesterday. Jeff and Dustin, however you want to say it. They called into the official Browns postgame show right here on The Fan. And they brought up, they go, they had 13 scripted plays, a 13 play to look good in the first part. Why can't they do that? And it's going, because the guy, after the scripted plays, you're just calling plays by the seat of your pants. You're calling plays emotionally. You're calling plays for whatever ego, whatever hubris is there. Like, you brought up Miami last week. Like, that's just what they do. Like, we thought it was stat padding. No, that's just what they do. Like, any sort of common sense, logic, whatever it is, flies in the face.
He doesn't know time of game. He doesn't know time management.
Nope.
I mean, all that stuff is at a very level.
It is too much.
It's embarrassing, the stuff that he does. But with all of that said, you have a chance to win that game. And I'm watching the Baker throw. He has all day. He steps up in the pocket. And he misses Jarvis Landry by 6 yards. How does that happen? And you can't just say, well, you know, the finger. He was fine. He was fine. He was completing passes. I just cannot fathom. Baker has had so many. And we have a lot of people to blame, and I'm not giving up on Baker. But how many drives has Baker had with the game on the line that it's just three and out, or interception, or we're floundering? How many drives? Like, where's the magic? Where is the spark? I know everyone's just going to look and say, Freddie today. And yeah, Freddie's bad. We told you Freddie was bad. You know Freddie's bad. You didn't need that yesterday to confirm it. But this team, where is Odell when the game is on the line? Where is Baker with the game on the line? They just are not coming through. And I think one other thing, I said this going into the weekend, and again, I thought the Browns would roll. I did. This team has tried to take this shortcut to making this rivalry big again. A shortcut. Like, well, we're just going to we're going to go out there and we're going to get Myles Garrett suspended for the rest of the year, but the fans will love it, right? Then we're going to wear a T-shirt. Then we're going to tell everybody Pittsburgh sucks, and we're going to talk about Alabama-Auburn on the way to the game, which was reported. They try to take a shortcut. You know how you really get the rivalry back? You beat Pittsburgh.
You
go out there, you win the games. You win the games. Baltimore is not worried about their rivalry with anybody. They're just beating everybody. They're just going out. They're not wearing T-shirts. They're not wearing cleats. They're not wearing mouth guards. They're not trying to tell everybody how good they are. They're just winning. They're just winning the games. That's how you do it, guys.
That's the problem.
That's how you do it. You win. You just win the games.
There was a time where, like, listen, I always hate losing to the Steelers. Don't get me wrong. There was a time it could be acceptable. And the reason it was acceptable, because you had one of the better players of the generation, one of the best quarterbacks of the generation on their side, and you had a mess over on this side. And then this year, like, things were supposed to be a little bit different here. Like, you have talent on the football team, but if you're putting guys in the wrong spots, and then the guys who are in the wrong spots aren't even going to give effort towards the end of it, then what the hell's the point? And I can't dispute anything you say. I'm looking at it through an angry prism right now. I'm looking at it through very, very bitter eyes right now. This is an unmitigated disaster. To see a team at 5-7 that you knew that there were opportunities. And we said it before. You had a team like Tennessee came into town. They're a better coach football team. They rolled you right out of the building in week one. All right, that's week one. Even the Denver game. The Denver game looked like a long ago era where we said, man, I wish you could play Brandon Allen right now. And then you have this Pittsburgh Steelers football team. And all week, I just had this stewing, terrible feeling. And I swear to God, it started on Monday morning. We found out that they took the day off. Just that whole Thanksgiving Day type of thing. Just a weird offshoot week. And here we are, where you go to Pittsburgh and you let that happen. And it's not just that you let that happen. You let it happen against a team that 2 weeks ago, you're puffing out your chest. And we're going to do it for Miles. We're going to do it for this football team. And you went out there and you couldn't put the right people together. And you ended up faltering again. So there's just no doubt about it. The best thing out of all of this, the best thing is that you know right out, there is no more rugs to hide under. The emperor, again, is without his clothes. All the cliches I can throw out there. There is nothing left to hide from. You are what you are. Or in the words of old Keith Wakefield, you is what you is. And what you is 5-7 and a massive disappointment. So much bravado, so much hope, so much chest puffing, and you went down yesterday. It wasn't to Ben Roethlisberger. Like, if you were toe-to-toe against Ben Roethlisberger, hey, dem's the breaks. Like I said, I want to play you in big football games. I want to beat the Steelers in big games, and I want to beat the best. Like, there was a little bit of a thought yesterday, and people don't want to admit this. Boy, if you beat the Steelers, it'd be the first time since 88. There were some people talking about this, and I know the people go tell me to cram it with walnuts, and that's fine. But they're going to say, hey, you know, it still wasn't over, Ben. Still wasn't over, Ben.
Well,
and I'd rather just have that.
Apparently,
and they didn't even need him.
They didn't need him to douse your playoff hopes. The Steelers still own you. They still, in both games, you felt like you lost. The first one, you felt like you lost. The second one, you did lose.
This sucks.
The Steelers still own you. They still own you. And I can't even imagine the Browns fans that had to go to that game and sit there and watch that.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna take shots at Steelers fans today. I'm not gonna sit there and do it. I gotta sit there and I gotta eat this thing like I want to with my feelings and sit here and deal with this garbage, this slop, this abomination that happened yesterday. Because that's what it was. It was a sacrilege to the organization. It was a sacrilege to the history of the great organization and the great history that it used to be. It was a sacrilege to fans who thought that they were gonna win. And how about all the people who went out there and thought that they were gonna celebrate in Heinz Field yesterday? 15 buses went out there and watched that. Could you imagine having to walk back to your truck or car or SUV or back to the bus after something like that going down, and you have to just stand there and take it as you walk? Holy jeez, I can't imagine. You think I'm better this morning? Hell, I didn't even go out there. I can't imagine that went out there yesterday.
Wearing your Myles Garrett shirt or your Pittsburgh Star-Rated shirt, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine what you had to put up with yesterday.
Complete and total disregard for the rest of the year now. But you is what you is. What you is a massive disappointment.
The Steelers are 7-5. No Big Ben, no Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell. They're 7-5. How much more talent do you need? It's not a talent issue. We can put that to bed. Finally, for years, it was a talent issue. Well, it's not a talent issue anymore.
You can't cover. You can't tackle. It's week 13. You still commit bad penalties. Your offensive line, with the exception of two guys, is a complete and utter train wreck in every single way. Quarterback play has been down this year. The only thing that's been good is the running back. You used the guy six times yesterday in the second half, and you didn't even use Kareem Hunt in any of those
runs. They ran the ball how many times?
They ran the ball in the six times in the second half. It was a 10-10 game.
Wait, that
wasn't 30-10 at halftime. Wasn't 27-10 at halftime. It was a 10-10 game. And the head coach, because he didn't have it scripted anymore, and he's the one who calls the plays, so I got to leave it at his feet, decided to freak out and throw the ball down the field as much as he could.
Wait, where did you see that? They couldn't have just
ran the ball six times in the second half.
Is that true?
Well, they only had, 19 offensive snaps from what I think I counted yesterday. So obviously they put themselves in a little bit more of a bit of a predicament than what we thought. And you got Justin McCray over there at left tackle. But let's put him out there on an island and have him one-on-one pass block against two of the best defensive players in the league right now, or at least in your division. Let's go ahead and let's do that. Let's see how that one works out. Wyatt Teller had a sack. That was a pretty interesting play. It was just all in all a mess. And this is the worst loss, the worst gut-wrenching feeling I've had since 99. That includes the field goal block. That includes the Colts game. That you bring the laundry list out. Dwayne Rudd, the whole thing.
Ugh.
This is the worst to me. 216-578-0092. You next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.